welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from a local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
So this is going to be a pretty fun podcast, Jonathan. We're going to talk about things that churches can do on the internet, things that churches can do to expand their outreach beyond physical contact, presence contact, and there is, I think we got some pretty good ideas here. I am so thankful for David Dockery. I'm so thankful for Trinity Evangelical Divinity School for being one of our two sponsors along with Vanderblumen. And so before we get into this, I just want you to acknowledge them and we'll move on and start talking about these issues.
Well, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School is a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. You can find out more about Trinity Evangelical Divinity School at divinity.tiu.edu.
Hey, who's your primary contact at Trinity?
Mark Kaler.
Yeah, he's been a great liaison during
yes,
this time.
And he has.
I know that you've had some very positive things to say.
Yep. So he's got some SBC ties.
Yeah, yeah.
So and some former ties to where you were. So
all the above, and was at Union with David. So we're grateful for both of them. Know they're doing a great job in leadership at Trinity.
Yep, excited to have them on board with us. Thanks again, guys, up at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School up there in the Chicago area.
You know, sometimes people ask where our content emanates. Mm-hmm. I was about to say where it comes from, but that would be a preposition to end the sentence with.
You don't end a preposition.
With the sentence with. And so it's always amazing to see the information that flows into us. A lot of it comes through the blog, comments. A lot of it comes through social media, Twitter good bit. Some of it comes through Facebook. Some of it comments on the podcast that come through. And some of it also comes through church answers and the different levels of church answers that we have. So though we have different sources of content, sometimes it's consultation, sometimes it's our own research, a lot of this information comes from our audience. And so we're very grateful for them giving us insights. And that specifically is the case with many of these insights
yes.
on evangelism, outreach, and the internet.
Yeah, we've had a lot of churches let us know about what they're doing online, how they've used the internet, and how they've basically taken that and used that as a tool for gospel proclamation in their local area and throughout the world.
I can't imagine a church in the 21st century, particularly in the U.S., not using the internet for outreach, for the gospel proclamation, for reaching beyond themselves. I mean, you're missing the primary mission field that's out there.
And it's one of these things where we always talk about, you know, go to where the lost people are. Well, it's easy to go to them when they're online. So we'll talk about 9 specific ways we've seen churches use this and ways they've grown and been able to spread the gospel. And number one is through developing social media accounts to share info about the church.
You know, sometimes we can merge things that we have said in the past, and it'll be the intersection of two things. Here's a prime example. The number one time that unchurched people are receptive to coming to church is?
Christmas Eve service.
Christmas Eve service. So what if you did a huge social media promotion Christmas Eve service? I mean, here it is, the latter October, middle of October, and Christmas and Christmas Eve is not too far away. Churches could start thinking about, okay, how am I going to promote that Christmas Eve service on Facebook, on Twitter, or any of the other means of social media?
Yeah, easy examples on that would be to provide stock tweets to your people.
Right.
Or stock Facebook updates. You know, just say, here's some suggested tweets, suggested Facebook updates. Give them a graphic.
You know,
put it on your website here. You can go grab this graphic. Use your own Facebook page. Use your own Twitter account, Instagram account for your church. And have them just basically repurpose the stuff that you're already putting out there as a church. Encourage your people to use their personal social media accounts to invite their friends, their neighbors, and everyone in your area to join you on Christmas Eve.
You're really making a good point. Sometimes you surprise me with your
with
your terrific insights. But what you are saying, I'm repeating what you have said by saying what you're saying, but what you are saying is don't just depend upon the church accounts alone. This is something that you get out into the entire congregation, and then they begin to do
exactly
the suggestions you make. That's a great idea.
What's more effective, one person doing it online or a couple hundred doing it online.
You want me to answer?
Sure.
Several hundred.
Yes.
Several hundred. I knew the answer to that.
Yes,
one.
That was an easy one. Softball. All right, number two, provide an online welcome to your city PDF with local municipal info.
All right. How long has it been since I've done a podcast where I've talked about one of my sons?
At least two episodes.
Okay.
I don't think we talked about him with David Platt. I'm trying to think. You may have mentioned him because of Paul Aiken in the room.
May have. Probably did. So we probably haven't gone any podcast talking about my sons. But Jess is the lead pastor of a church that's about to launch called Church at Spring Hill. And he absolutely loves his community. I rarely have seen someone that just says, I love everything about this community. He knows it's not perfect, but God's just given him a great heart for that community. One thing that he's been doing is sharing information about the city. He gets it off the city website. He gets it off other sources, and he shares information about the city, about Spring Hill, Tennessee, to different people via his social media. But you're talking about a very specific idea, someone moving to the area,
yeah.
And you have a PDF available for them. And what would be on that PDF?
Anything from local school information to local municipal utility information. Just shopping, maybe directions, those kind of things. Places of worship, obviously, if you're putting it on the church website. And I don't think it would be a bad idea to list other places of worship, showing that.
How about this for you? Some of your favorite restaurants.
That's a great idea.
I can't believe that you wouldn't put something about food on there.
I was getting there. You cut me off.
All right.
But you could do anything that people moving to your town, maybe there's a specific festival. We've talked about this in the past on the podcast. If your town has a festival or a big event that goes on, information about that. You know, hey, every year our July 4th fireworks are at, wherever. Or, every year we have a festival in the fall to celebrate something. I don't know what it is. Or if there's a local county fair. That information, just information that somebody new to the area would need and would be helpful to them coming new to the area. And the power of Google will help you out and drive people to that. And, put that little logo, new here, new in town.
Yeah.
Click here for information. Have people, give them your email address, and you can maybe even get them into an email sequence to follow up with them. Just simple stuff like that.
Oh, we need to talk about that at some time, too. Email sequences for churches to reach into their community. That's a different topic. One thing.
Well, it's coming up in a couple points.
Okay. Well, we'll get there. One thing to mention on this whole idea of giving information on the community. I've seen some of the best realtors have that information available. Go to that realtor and get that information from their own.
Yep. That's where you start.
Chamber of Commerce and the realtor.
Every realtor who's worth their salt has a packet for new people in town.
Right.
Because they know it helps. And they know that the referral market is, there's a lot of realtors out there.
Yep.
And you can refer a lot of different people. But if your realtor gives you a lot of information, they probably will get a lot more business. So find a realtor who's really good in your church. I bet they've got the information, and you really don't have to do too much work to it.
So if a good realtor's doing this, then a church certainly should be doing
this. Exactly. Number three, share inspiring quotes and Bible verses online for others to pass on. This kind of goes back to what you talked about earlier, where it's better for many people to share rather than one.
Yeah. How often do you see churches doing this?
It depends on the church.
Some churches,
your church does it well.
Okay.
Daryl Girardier down at Brentwood Baptist, shout out to Daryl, they do a great job.
On inspiring quotes and Bible verses?
Just different things, or maybe it's just something coming up, but they use this, especially in whenever there's current event type things, maybe a Syrian refugee thing that's going on right now in the news, you'd maybe see something, pray for Syria, pray for refugees, things like that. That'd be a very simple thing that your church could put together, send out online. People will share it, and it'll get passed around.
So two things happen. One, the power of prayer and ministry, the efficacy of the Word of God, and then also you're talking about your church.
Mm-hmm.
All of the above.
Yep.
Great idea.
Number four, send out a weekly e-newsletter with church info and announcements.
Who gets that?
Well, whoever wants to.
So churches would do well to start building an email list.
Of course. If they don't have one, they need to start.
So let's get downright practical on this. We have a tendency to do that at times. So let's talk about how do you gather an email list? What are some services that are out there?
Okay, well, first of all, you need to have people opt into the email address.
You can
send out something, I guess, if you don't have anything. So you probably have a church management software with all the information in it already.
Right.
So you'll need to get people's okay to do that.
So so you're getting permission to go
into... And it might be even where they've already given it to you and they're a church member, and just say, hey, we're going to start an e-newsletter. If you don't want to be on it, please let us know. We'll take you off and you'll never see it to begin with.
Okay.
And then just start and just give people about a month's heads up on that. That way, if they say, no, I don't want, you know, I don't want the email, more than likely they'll be okay with it. And if they want to unsubscribe, they can unsubscribe in the email itself. But then, you know, export those from your church management software, whatever that may be, or if your church management software has email built into it, where you can do that, that's a possibility as well. I know some of those do. But then move over to a management or an email management software like MailChimp.
That's what we
use.
Use
for Rainer, TomRainer.com.
Right.
And you can get up to 1,200 email addresses, and I think it's 10,000 sends a month for free.
And then it's reasonably cost
then,
after
and
that.
And after that, I mean, we're talking like 10 bucks a month. It's really cheap. It's not anything that's overly expensive. They got a lot of templates. They can build your stuff for you practically. I mean, it's just drag and drop. You just put the information in that you want, and you know, you can go from there. And for just a few bucks a month, you can have an effective email newsletter going out every week where you kind of have a template set up and you just drop in the information from week to week.
This is good information in a number of ways, because although social media is great, the church does not own their social media account. That can change. There can be algorithms that change.
Yeah.
Facebook changes, mm-hmm. Twitter changes. And so you ultimately do not control totally what can happen in social media.
Yeah.
But if you have an email list and you're sending out information, that is yours. That's your proprietary property. And that is something that people have asked for, and you're sending it to them.
And one of the big cautions on that is don't just sign up everybody, like, because we talked about the guest information card. If they give you their email address, don't automatically throw them in there. Have them opt into that, because if not, I mean, you're basically spamming people.
Yeah, you're getting them mad because you're sending something they didn't request.
Maybe you put a box on there, hey, subscribe me to the weekly e-newsletter or something, then you can put them on there. If you can build this up and just get the information in front of people, we've done a podcast on announcements, we've done podcasts on information cards, bulletins. Email is just another way that you can get your information in front of people and have them more engaged with your church.
More than ever, churches have ways to communicate with culture. Back in the first century, the big development was the Roman roads. And the Roman roads became the source of commerce in the Roman Empire.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the evangelism tract.
No. The literal Roman roads. It was the modern development of the first century, so that commerce could travel from city to city on land. Well, that became a vehicle for the gospel traveling. Mm-hmm. Without the Roman roads, there would not have been the gospel that traveled as it did. Same thing with internet. It's our modern day Roman road. It's a way to get the gospel out, to way to get messages out about our church, that it is a new mechanism, relatively new in the course of history.
Another way that people can get the information out is through blogs, and that's number 5 here. Blog about outreach event results to encourage participation in upcoming events.
So this is almost your comment, my question. I didn't mean for this to go this way. But
the roles are reversed.
Yeah, but you're the expert in all that is social media.
Says the guy with the millions of blog views a year.
It says the guy who made it that way.
Okay.
So blogs. Who is writing these blogs? Is it just the pastor, or could it be other people?
It depends on whose blog it is. If it's a church blog,
well,
then it could be anyone.
That's an obvious answer.
Well, I know, but
whose blog is it? It depends on whose blog it is.
It depends. That's the Rainer on Leadership answer.
I guess you're right.
So if it's a church blog and you're just doing maybe just updates and things like that, that could be anybody. So if you have a ministry in your church that has an event and they write a recap, you know, to encourage people, and that was the whole point of this, is to use the blogs as more of a news outlet. You know, so if your church has a church update or church blog, they can use it to update people what's going on in certain ministries. Because the more I see, as someone who's not plugged in a ministry, the more I see what's going on in that ministry,
mm-hmm.
and the successes they're having,
mm-hmm.
the more I'm willing to be a part of that.
I like that.
And the more volunteers you're going to get. So if you've got a children's ministry blog and you're showing everything to the parents, hey, this is the exciting stuff going on in children's ministry or in youth ministry or whatever it may be, the more your parents, the more, you know, the youth will want to be there. The parents will want to be involved, volunteers, what have you.
That's good. That's good stuff.
All right. Number 6 is to post sermon videos to YouTube. Now, this may not be for everybody.
Right.
But maybe for some.
Yeah, especially if you're good.
Yeah, well, if you're good or if you've just got the equipment. That's where it kind of boils down to. If you've really got the equipment. If you've already got like closed circuit TV going throughout the campus, if you've got TVs that are out throughout the campus, maybe in the lobbies or things like that, and you're already videoing, there's no reason why your sermon shouldn't be on YouTube.
Okay. What is it expensive for churches to get started in video?
It depends.
But
depends
it could,
on how
the quality.
How quality, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can probably have somebody, more than likely your church has somebody or knows somebody that is local that can help you out with that.
Okay.
I would be willing to guess that video is so prevalent now that I bet you could probably get into it for maybe a couple $1,000s.
And at the very least, a church can do a podcast.
Yeah, that really doesn't take hardly anything.
Yeah, sermon podcast. That's probably the most common type of podcast in the Christian world these days.
Definitely.
Preaching podcasts.
Thousands and thousands of those. If you're not even going to put it on YouTube, then definitely just do a audio recording. And literally, you can get into that for free because you can record for free your audio. You just got to get it into whatever recording device you're going to use. Then upload that. You can do the podcast stuff from there.
One of the reasons I think the podcast is here to stay, and it will be supplemented by video, but it will not be replaced by video, is that people will be able to listen to it on their smartphone, in their cars, while they're walking, some things that they shouldn't do while they're driving in their cars.
All right, number 7, develop an online prayer ministry for the community.
We recently heard David Platt in chapel, did a just tremendous job. And one thing I really liked, one of the many things I liked about the sermon, he was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went back and he talked about the tongues of fire and made some humorous comments. But then he said, that Holy Spirit that was present, that causes people to speak in other languages, that then became the catalyst for the gospel, that Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. Why do we not depend more on the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, when we talk about the power of prayer, everybody gives an affirmative nod, but I'm not so sure if it's highly intentional in a lot of churches. In fact, let me say it the other way. Having been in many churches, I am sure it is not intentional in many churches. And one thing that you can do to create some level of intentionality is to develop this online prayer ministry. And Jonathan, I really like that for the entire community so that others can submit prayer requests.
And that could be as simple as a contact form on your website.
Yeah.
With my name, my prayer request.
And it's very important that people follow up with that.
I mean, and email optional, maybe if you want to follow up, that kind of thing. So,
right.
Because there's no telling what you'll get through there.
Yeah, well, you could get some weird stuff. There's absolutely no doubt. But it's worth it.
Yes.
I mean, every now and then we get some weird stuff coming through the block. So,
boy, do we.
So it's still worth it. The overall ministry is worth it.
Number 8, and I'm probably one of your favorites, use Periscope for some of your church events.
I love Periscope.
Yep. We just started a Periscope weekly.
I know.
Every Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
We opened it up on October 1st, and now it's going to be our Thursday regular thing where we're going to be about 15, 20 minutes on Periscope. You signed me up for Periscope before I knew Periscope existed.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, Jonathan, you ever heard of this Periscope? He said, yeah, you got it. And so I started using it, and I have absolutely loved it. I'm glad now that I have a systematic way of using it for regular informational reason.
Yeah.
But I like using it just for fun. I went on a children's train with my two grandchildren not too long ago.
Your son loved that, too.
And their father, my son, was sitting in the chair in the seat with me because my wife Nellie Jo was with the two grandsons, but I did the entire Periscope as if it were my 30-year-old son and me on a children's train. And poor Art, he was just
he was so thankful for that 24-hour window that people could see that.
And
I missed that one.
Well, I was yelling to people from the train. I've got my 30-year-old son with me.
To do that with my 11-year-old.
Yeah, he would probably have the same level of
mortified.
The same level of embarrassment that Art did. And then I interviewed Art about what it was like to be on the little train with his daddy. But I have Periscope for fun, but I also we're now using it on a more serious level to communicate information, just another layer of information that we're providing. But my goodness, there's so many church things that can be put on there. Big events, musicals, Christmas specials, Easter specials. Yeah. Hey, you know what would have been great?
What?
What would have been great is if Jimmy Scroggins, the pastor of Family Church, then First Baptist West Palm Beach, had Periscope the camel falling down in the worship center.
That would be fantastic. I've got it. See, now that you mentioned that, that gives me a reason to link to that YouTube video again.
Yeah, link to it. And
one of the greatest ever.
I tell you what, while you're linking to it, since you're going to do that, go and put Jimmy's Twitter handle in there so that they can contact Jimmy and let him know how much they appreciate that, even though it's been a few years back. Mm-hmm. The Christmas camel falling down on the pews, on people. No one was injured.
Nope. It was during the dress rehearsal.
Rehearsal, but there were people there. The college students were there from Palm Beach Atlantic. One of my favorite ones. What if that had been scoped? What if that had been periscoped? That'd be probably one of the most viewed scopes ever.
That'd be incredible.
I'd love it.
It's still, I mean, still got a ton of views on YouTube.
So. Yeah. Jimmy became an international figure during that time.
Yeah, and an international sign of hatred from PETA.
Yeah, Jimmy is known as the camel's pastor now. I love it.
That's a different kind of camel method there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, number nine, and the final point here in evangelism, outreach, and the internet, share photos of community events and places on your church website. This is something that I really expect Jess Rayner to be doing a lot of.
Okay, well, Jess Rayner, the church at Spring Hill.
No pressure, Jess.
We'll launch in a little over 2 months, and I'll tell him that there should be a lot of photos on there about the opening of the church in Spring Hill, the launch of the church, and all of the great things that are going to go on
and
there.
Just the things that the church is doing in the city. I mean, he could even have it up there already because, I mean, his church, while it isn't even launched yet, they're still making their presence known in Spring Hill.
How about, in addition to that, Instagram photos, Facebook photos, Twitter photos, so you still can go back to the social media, but at the same time put it on your site so you can have an aggregate where it's always there.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting WeStaffTheChurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rayner on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts?
Two of them. Number one, about Vander Blumen. William Vander Blumen and his team are really getting on the cutting edge of delivering great information for the church, particularly related to the staff. They're doing webinars. They have some new resources, their blog, their podcast. Their podcast just took off to begin. So a lot of good things going on there. I want to commend them and just tell all of y'all to be on the lookout for that information. And then finally, in closing, these nine items are beginning points. And they are, for the most part, without cost. It's certainly without significant cost. And so you leaders of churches that have limited resources, which is almost every church that I talk to these days, understand this is what you can be doing. I don't want to be harsh, but there is no excuse for you not picking up some of these ideas of evangelism and outreach on the internet. I commend you to do it, and I hope maybe the Holy Spirit convicts you to do it.
Thanks for joining us today on Rayner on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review and rating over there. And join us online at TomRayner.com.